Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, man. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy, Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff,
baby. Dallas, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout out to the Love Talk Radio family. Y'all know what time it is. Friday night, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it is, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. And Off the Cuff Radio is always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
I'm riding. Yeah, baby. I'm riding. Is you catching this ride, baby?
Come on.
Or is you coming inside, baby? I'm riding.
Yeah, baby.
I'm riding.
Let's go.
Is you catching this ride, baby? Or is you coming inside?
Rolling in my 6'4". He gave me 6 inches, said I need more.
I need a little
You
more.
Got the rub up on my clit more. He said my peonies smell like Dior. Put the key in an ignition and ramp up the transmission. A little more kissing and a lot more dickin'. I told you, I'm a rider, rider. Just make sure you don't side up.
Come ride with me. Come ride with me.
Yeah,
is you catching this ride, baby?
Uh-huh.
Or is you coming inside, baby?
Come ride with me.
Come ride with me.
Get in.
Is you catching this ride, baby? Or is you coming inside?
Yeah, daddy, talk that shit to me. He beat it so good, I charged him with a felony. Now I know why his ex is mad at me. Cause I fucked him like he's supposed to be. Grip the handle with a tight grip. He thought that I couldn't handle the stick. I'm just right with the nice fit. Shit, now he the one that's wick. You hitting all the right corners real smooth. But you gotta speed it up, speed it up. You got the green light, daddy, now take off. But you better beat it up, beat it up. He's still into me after post-nut clarity. When he with the next chick, he sanitizing up me. Oh my God, oh my God. Just make sure you don't come inside.
Come ride with me. Come ride with me.
Is you catching this ride, baby?
Uh-huh.
Or is you coming inside, baby?
Come ride with me.
Take a ride.
Come ride with me.
Is you catching this ride, baby? Or is you coming inside?
Impromptu interview tonight, as a matter of fact. We had to plan that first time out, but you know how things work with radio. Things get complicated. But anyways, this show is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Jesse Boutique, Core Financial, and this talented lady I have on the line tonight,
She's a jack of all trades. We talk about podcasting, songwriter, rapping, content creator, possibly author, actress, you name it, man. And that song you just heard right there is from her new project called Riding. And we have her on the line right now. So without further ado, let's bring on Lady Miz to Off the Cuff Radio. What's good?
Hey, what's up, what's up, what's up, yo? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. See, that's going to show you how dedicated and passionate that we both are to this craftsmanship. Even when we had a situation where we didn't know what was happening, we still made it happen regardless.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I appreciate that, too, for, you know, letting me continue to rock out with y'all. And I apologize. I'm calling a long darn number. I'm like, it's oh,
good.
Lord, I need to go get my eyes checked.
Because, you know, before we go on, you know, we were sitting there like, okay, she shared the show. Well, I hope she's good. Because that's the first instinct that we usually have, because we want to make sure, like, yo, hope everything is okay.
Right, right, yes. Yeah, that was an error on my part. And I'm sitting there like, well, what's going on? I'm calling this. This ain't the right number. Oh, my God. Something told me, too. I said, yo, let me go and see if anything, if he posts something on Instagram. And sure enough, it was a message there. I was like, oh, man. Should have went there.
You know what, though? That's how the stars align, because we finally made it happen. Welcome to Off the Cuff Radio. How are you doing tonight, by the way?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing good, you know, just rocking out, doing what I do, preparing for my trip. I'm doing all right.
That's what it is. Got the new single out there titled Riding. And, you know, I was listening to some of your stuff, because usually before I bring on a guest, I like to study and analyze my guests so we can know what we're talking about. Now, what made you want to go to this direction here with this single?
Well, the thing is, I like to be versatile with my art, right? So a lot of people, some people think that this is like the first time that I put out like a song like that, but it's not really. Like, I have like probably 3 or 4 other songs that's very similar to Riding. One song is called Touch Me, and I got that video. Actually, I have a video out with that on YouTube. And another song is called Take It Slow. So Riding might be a little more explicit, you know what I mean? But it's still on the same path. It's in the same lane, I should say, as the other two. But, yes, I am more of when people that listen to my other stuff, they know that, okay, she sounds more conscious. But what they got to understand is I'm not just in the box, right? So I'm going to give you a variety just to show my versatility.
Absolutely. And how has your bass have responded to it so far?
So, some people, again, they're like, what? Lady Man talking like that? And then I just be like, yeah, I send them, like I said, I send them to Touch Me. I send them to Take It Slow and be like, yeah, that was like 2 years ago, same lane. But people actually, honestly, they love it. They actually love it. So I've been getting a lot of positive feedback here. And again, even if you look at the cover, because I still like to do, like I said, different stuff. But if you look at the cover, I'm making it very clear that this is for adults only. You know what I mean?
Definitely
for adults only. So we're not marketing. If I'm going to do a song like that, I'm going to make sure that it gets marketed to the right people. So, yeah, I'm talking dirty, right? But it's not for the kids anyway. So
exactly, because you don't want people to, you know, get caught over, you know what I mean? Because they can be listening to one of your songs and be like, oh, you talking about the struggle here. Then they get blindsided with that. So it's a good thing that you put the adults only on there.
Absolutely. Yep. I know, to some people, they might say, you know, I guess you got people that'll say, well, stick to one thing. And then you got a lot, like a lot. You know, we living in an independent artist stage now. You know what I mean? And what that does is it allows us to,
I said exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So what it does is it allows us to be free with our art. So, again, back to that, like, even with my other music that's considered conscious music, then you might find some joints where I'm really talking, like, you know, I'm talking shit, you know what I mean, where I'm going in, where it's like, okay, so it's not, you got the hardcore, you got your conscious, you got your mellow, you know, laid back, and then you got your sexy for the adults only type of joint.
Exactly, because the way the game is structured, you don't want to just be focused on one lane. Sometimes you got to test the water so that way you can see which one is best you can swim in.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Because people, they do themselves a lot of disservice and just, you know, pigeonholing themselves. That's why, for example, I'm going to give you a good example. Just like with Kendrick Lamar, like how he didn't pigeonhole himself to the conscious label. He just went ahead and just threw some stuff out there about how he was feeling. And I think that's what is missing with the game today is more artistic risk. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Because people are afraid, like, okay, if I spoke about this, I got to stay doing that because this is what they expect from me. But you know what I mean? At the end of the day, I always tell people, like, music is an art. It's a form of expression. It's like a painter. You could go paint a picture, you know what I mean? And somebody, you know, let's say somebody who is very good with details, where they could paint a person just sitting there. But it, what if one day they're in the mood to just give a picture that just has several colors on it? And it might not be no detail in it, but it doesn't mean that it won't match or go well with something else. You know what I mean? So it could be, you could throw, you ever see a picture where you just see matte colors on the joint? It ain't got no style to it at all, but it still looks nice because it fits somewhere. That's how I look at the music.
Exactly, exactly. And you got to look at the music like a whole huge visual landscape where you could attack it on different cylinders, because the building a bass is basically a complicated thing, and you never know which one of them songs is going to really touch somebody. That's why diversity is the key.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a fact.
Going into your background, tell us about where you're from and growing up, and what was your musical inspirations?
Yeah, so I was born in Philly, West Philly, and I was out there, you know, born there, and then I was there until I was around 10, 11 years old. Then I moved to New York a little bit. We call it upstate New York because it's like an hour away from the city, so in the suburbs area. So I been living out there for a minute. This is like the 845. Right now I'm in Orange County, New York, you know what I mean, which is still in the 845 area code, which is still about an hour and 10 minutes from New York City. And for me, when it comes to being inspired by other people, I always tell people, like, the first time I wrote my first rap song, I was around 10, 11 when I moved to Philadelphia. I was on punishment because I was kind of, like, upset that I moved and I was taken away from everything that I know. So I was kind of acting out, and I was on punishment, and then I was just listening to Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick in my room, and I was writing down their rhymes. And I was reciting it. So I wanted to say it perfectly, word for word. And I was doing it over and over. And then I just started saying, oh, this would sound nice if I said that. And I just started switching it up. And from there, I started writing. So that's how it started. But, I mean, besides them, because I love music so much, obviously I was listening to it. And that was something that kind of, like, helped me cope with a lot of stuff. And it took my mind off of a lot of other things I was going through. But when I think of the people that inspired me, it's several different people. Not just them, they were a part of it, but I'm talking about damn near the whole boom bap era, females and males. And I absolutely loved everybody because, again, I can appreciate the different forms of art. So I wasn't really one to say, oh, I don't like this person or this one is whack. Like, I listened to everybody.
Yeah, to go to show you how much of a student that you became, because that's how, when you're studying everybody, you can pick different layers of styles on how you incorporate your own name.
Yes. Absolutely.
And coming from that boom bap era, too, like, you got to let us know, too, like, what was it really like growing up from that time period, like, atmosphere-wise, because things are different. We're in a different world now, but, you know, you care to give us a description of what it was like growing up around that period where you had to be outside, where you had to mingle with the people.
Yeah, so growing up in that era, I'm going to tell you right now, I miss it. And I always say it, and I joke around with my kids and stuff like that, because even though, like, sometimes we be talking about the new generation and we be battling it out, but we still had a lot of similarities when we talk about, even when we talk about mumble rap. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't really like to say certain things, you know, or acknowledge certain things, but that's kind of been going on in a different way, even when we talk about the boom bap era. But for me, what I loved so much about it was the fact that the culture, like, one, you knew when you put on a radio, you was going to hear somebody different every single time. You was not going to hear someone that sounds alike, right? Because biting was not allowed. So you had to be original with your shit. You had to be, you know, creative and original. And nowadays, when you compare, although I still listen to the new stuff, I like it, but what disappoints me is that there is no one that is trying to stand out. Everybody is trying to fit in. So when I think about the boom bap era, I, you know, the fun, like even the parties, right? Back then, you could go to a party, you could have a good time, everybody's dancing, people are, you know, really having a good time. Today era, it's all about pictures and Instagram posting. Let me just show and act like I'm having a good time, but they not. And then they sit down and then they chilling. They don't want to dance. People don't want to mess up their hair. They don't want to mess up their eyebrows or mess up their weave. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever the case may be. And it's like, yo, you know what I mean? So
everybody
like,
is
yo,
very self-conscious. It's too self-conscious now.
Yes. Exactly. So it's like, yo, now everybody is so afraid to just sweat it out. It's like they're not even enjoying what is being put out. So it's like, okay, I heard this. I heard one song. Everything else sounds the same. So you can't even really tell who's who anymore. Before, I knew everybody. It didn't matter who it was because they sound different. Now, I can't tell. I don't know who is who. So, again, being able to also connect that face-to-face, to pop the trunk, to sell the CDs, everybody with the ciphers, connecting, just the whole era of that time I missed. But I'm glad that I grew up in that time because that means that I got to experience it. So sadly, and not to say that everything is horrible now, when I look at how things are now, I feel bad because I'm like, damn, they missed out. Who would have thought that at that time, you know what I mean? Like, even when you look at the girls, like, you think about, like, Aaliyah, Monica, like, certain people, everything was, you know, everybody was themselves. And don't get me wrong, I rock wigs, I rock weaves and all of that, you know, so I'm not knocking it. But when I look back at the females, I was like, damn, it was just okay just to be you. Now you can't without the filter. Because if you don't have that filter on, if you don't look like what everybody looks like now, now it's like, oh, shit. It's almost like you don't look good at all. You know what I'm saying? And I hate to say that because that's what everybody's looking for now. Oh, shit, how I'ma look or compete or look, you know, even though it shouldn't be about competition, but I don't care. It is. Everybody know that in a sense, right? But how I'ma compete with how everybody looked this way, like everything was perfect, and here I am just regular. You post a picture with no filter, with no nothing, then it looks like it's a bad picture when you compare it to everybody else. So that's using all that stuff. So again, bringing it back to the era of when I grew up, it was just so good because you could be free. You can't. The freeness is gone, in a sense now.
Yeah, because everything, like, let me give a good example. What I really miss about mainly that era is when you first hear a big record. Like, people don't understand about the time where they first heard Quiet Storm at the club for Mobb Deep or...
Mm-hmm.
or you got, what's another big record, or even, I say Puff 3 record, or Hate Me Now. You know, you know you are all about the Benjamins, or Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See. You know, when you hear big records at those house parties, you can't really get
yes.
that feeling anymore because it hits the net, and you only get to experience it within your own individual entertainment. But when you are around people and a big artist break a big record, it's like a movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I could tell.
You know,
you could probably tell
you said
this.
That.
You could probably kids this. Man, we remember around the time when Michael Jackson was about to debut Black and White at the, after Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They don't know about those big moments. It's just like that's where I see right now a lot of the record sales are a lot of the big stars are really suffering with lack of sales now because the it factor is gone.
Yes, yes. And you know what? And that's another great point that you brought up where, I mean, for me, it's almost, how can I say it? I appreciate it as an independent artist, but I also know what it's doing to the music industry altogether. So, you know, the game is so oversaturated because anybody could just put out anything now, right? You know, you find whatever distribution company, you pay your little fee or whatever it is, and now you could put everything out and it's there. So now people back in my era, the boom bap era, when people were checking for music and like somebody like me who was running home making sure I don't miss Video Music Box or Yo MTV Raps and all the posters back then, you know what I mean, with everybody on it and all of that stuff where you really got to enjoy it. Now it's like and I hate to say this because as a person who creates songs and as a podcaster, but even I get to the point where I'm like, I'm kind of getting tired of it because it's like everybody do it. Everybody, it's the same thing over and over. So you feel so overwhelmed with everybody doing it where it takes away from something.
Yeah, it takes away. What it does is takes away the special feeling that it comes with it. Just there was the kings of rap that we grew up listening to and looking at. When I listen to guys like Pun and his verses, Dream Shatter, the first thing I think is this dude's incredible. I do not want to be a fucking rapper. I can't rap for shit. I'm not going in the booth with none of these guys. If I hear like Nas, if I hear AZ, I hear Pac, Biggie, all these guys. First thing I'm thinking, I am not stepping in no cypher with these guys. I'm not stepping in no booth with these guys. I'm going to stay in my lane and be a damn journalist. I'm not going to be no rapper. For now, these motherfuckers are so whack. I feel like shit. Let me go out there and drop a record and give me some streams. I can give me a band.
You know, it's so funny because in a sense, it's like, I get it, right? I get it. And guess what? Anybody could do it. You're right. When I hear certain shit, I'm like, damn. But you know what the crazy thing is? It's obviously, when you look at the flip side of things, and this is me just understanding the other point of it, it's like, okay, we might say that they whack, right? But somebody likes this shit. Think about mumble rap. What if it's working for them? So I can't really hate on this shit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to hate on it because, like, somebody said, yo, I like this shit, and then it took off, and now people listen to it, they enjoy it, and it is what it is, you know? So, I mean, if it works for them, I'm not knocking it, but I think that maybe labeling it correctly might make a difference. I guess calling it mumble rap is labeling it to a certain degree. But do we really call that hip-hop?
I think at the end of the day, what hip-hop is missing is balance, because balance is what keeps everything intact. Even when you listen to a lot of the radio in the mid-90s, they had a lot of balancing acts. Like, for every record you hear from N.W.A., you'll hear from Far Side. Like, for every record you hear from Biggie, you hear the Roots. Or you'll hear even the Beastie Boys. Like, you know, you had a great balance of radio at that time before, you know, the mid-90s when the corporate takeover came through. So that's what's really missing, because you only hear one side of the coin. You don't hear the other side of the coin represented within the culture today. So it needs balance.
Right.
There's a lot of talent out there, and you included as a part of that tree. But when you got
people that
don't have no clue of what's going on with the culture or making decisions about what's hot in the streets, you got 70-year-old white men making that decision, that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
That's where we stand at it.
Absolutely. And there you go. Who is really controlling the culture in hip-hop today? That's what we got to look at, right? Because at the end of the day, like you said, people that don't even really understand the culture is dictating what it is now. And that's who controls the airwaves, the mainstream radio. But this is why I always appreciate the independent stations, you know, that's doing it for the mainstream and for the indie artists like yourself, you know what I mean? And like me, what I do as well, too, we create these platforms for people so that they can showcase their talent and stuff like that, and they get a chance to do that. Because at the end of the day, if you're trying to get on, you know, like the FM station, it don't even matter what's going on with your song. You got to have the money. So it's really about payola, which is supposed to be illegal. It's all about the money part, or it's about are you pushing the narrative that we want to be out there when it comes to music? Are you pushing the message that we want people to hear? And what is the message now?
And that leads me to another question. That's a good question right here on this bill about the message and everything. Now, you come with a message that's endeared to our community and uplifting and everything like that caliber. Now, have you been approached by labels offering that serious contractual bag to where, okay, you're gonna take this, but you got to change your message up a little bit. You got to be more like the Cardis or Meg the Stallions or people of that like that.
Well, I've never been approached by, I would say, in my time now, I've never been approached by, I would say, the bigger labels. I have been approached by other people who have their own independent labels. And there has been a couple of times where I was told, hey, you need to, like, listen, if I would have made stuff like Biden every time, I would have been good. You know what I mean? But I'm like, when I do something like that, it's going to be on my own terms. It's not going to be because somebody said that's how I need to do it, how I need to look or what I need to sound like. If that's what I feel for the moment, then that's what I'm going to do. But when I want to step into and get on my Sister Soulja shit, you know what I'm saying? That got to be available for me to do too. So, again, you know, so I've had a couple of contracts where it didn't work out. It didn't work out because I'm not going to
that. Go ahead.
Huh?
I was like, go ahead.
Oh, no, I said, you know, at the end of the day, I did not move forward with them because what they wanted from me, I wasn't willing to do.
That's what it's all about, man. It's all about staying true to your belief system and staying true to your craft and not selling anything off, especially if you're not gaining anything.
Absolutely. And not for nothing, you want to know something that I'm noticing now more than anything is that because this industry is so oversaturated and they love to target, you know, so many people out there with scams and all the stuff that they could do for you and all this other stuff, right? Now, you got to remember, if I'm from the boom bap era, what does that tell you? I'm not a kid. You know what I mean? I'm an adult.
Right.
So if I'm an adult, but that doesn't mean all adults think like me. But, you know, a lot of people, they try to sell dreams, right? And it's just crazy how when I start to talk to people and they present certain things to me and I start to ask specific questions, I'm noticing that people feel like they get insulted. Instead of understanding, okay, well, she's about her business, she's asking the right questions, I can see she, but instead, because they're not used to being asked specific questions, they start to feel like I'm insulting them in a way. Even though they don't say that, I can tell by the response. So I'm saying all that to say this. When you have artists out here who kind of know the business, right, and know the business enough that it protects them the best way that they can without needing a lawyer at that present time, a lot of people don't like that. They don't like it. So they take offense to it rather than respect it. And that comes from having so many people that believe the dream that is being sold. So because I look at it like, okay, well, you can't tell me that you could do this, that, and the third for me. Let me see, did you do it for somebody else? Or how is it working out for you? Because if I don't see that that's what you do, how you going to do it for me? And you got to show me something that you could do for me that I can't do for myself. You can't just say, oh, I could do that too. Well, let me, you understand? So somebody got to show me that they can do more than what I'm already doing, and it has to make sense. And most importantly, people need to know what their goal is in this state. A lot of people, and even when I interview a lot of artists, I always ask them, what is your goal? What are you looking to get out of it? And a lot of them don't really know. I can tell. They just start making stuff up along the lines. And it's not to take a shot at anyone, but I'm just saying you have to know what your goal is, because if you don't, then that's when you get lost and caught up in what everybody tells you success looks like. That's how people get lost, and that's how people get depressed, and they get unhappy because they don't even know if they live in their purpose at that moment because they're too busy following behind what everybody else said they should be doing.
And it also trickles down to economics, because it's easy now for a lot of people to sell pipe dreams and scams, because they're desperate. You know, we live in very desperate times, and the business has changed. It done a total 380. Like, you know how they always used to say life used to change in 10 years, where in hip-hop, what was hot 5 years, it felt like it was 50 years ago. It changes so quick.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the stuff that we heard from 2006, like, you know, songs like the Laffy Taffy and Shorty Low, they know, that sounds foreign these days. The business changes so much. And now with, you know, them slowly trying to phase out CDs and physicals and try to add in streaming, it hurts the artists even more, especially the ones that are only understanding one way of doing business. Now they're trying to pretty much renovate everything and understand a new way of business. There's a lot of artists out there, big time artists, that's missing millions just off this new streaming umbrella.
I know. And you want to know something about that? That's crazy. Because it's so sad, because it's almost like they force you into that. Now, I know a lot of people who still be like, yo, nah, we want CDs. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you guys see that? Because I was like, oh, I'm not putting CDs. They don't even want that. And then they've changed the whole in the cars. Some of them don't even put them in the cars no more. You know what I mean? So it's like they kind of making you go down that route. So, again, yes, who it hurts is the people from the other generation before, because they like that, right? And they / we like that. Because I still got my CDs. Right. I still got all of that stuff. And I ain't going to lie, though. I really don't listen to it. The easy access is easier because I could just go right on Apple and boom, type in and bang, it's right there. You know what I mean? So it's so much easier to do that. But what it does is it alienates the ones who don't listen to streaming platforms, the ones who still might like the CDs. So now there's nowhere for them to get the music or find it in that form like that, or it's very limited. So now that is going to affect those artists who their target audience is looking for CDs, but they're thinking people are not buying them no more, so I'm not going to press them up. So now they're losing money, and they're losing that connection with their fan base.
Yes, because it's like a personal, investment that you have with somebody. It's like, okay, it's a personal souvenir. Like, you give me an autographed CD, that's that personal connection you have with that artist right there. Therefore, he's going to have a fan base that's going to grow even more just off that personal connection alone. But see, now with the way they have it, all your music is in a folder, and you can't really bond with the music because there's so much coming out at one time. Like, people are already saying Kendrick Lamar album and Drake's album came and went, and them shits came out last month. That's how fast food the business is right now. That's crazy. Like, these are the biggest artists in the game, and they just dropped their albums. And now the people are like, this came and went. I said, what? It just came out. So if the big dogs are going through it, ain't no telling what the underground going through.
That's a fact. That is very true. It's sad. It is sad. But it's like, I don't even know what we would be able to do or how we would be able to fix an issue like that. I wasn't really. Let me tell you how it affects independent artists or the older artists who still be trying to cater to the other generation, right? The older generation, because when let's say you are pushing or you're advertising your stuff to someone, the first thing they do is go look at your numbers, right?
Yeah.
So if you're not a number pusher, right, they go, well, let me see what your Spotify looks like. Let me see what your social media look like, right? They want to see all of that. And what happens? What happens is people don't give a damn about the art no more. They're so busy trying to worry about what you ate last night, who you sleeping with, what did you post on your social media, what's going on in your personal life. The game has changed so much that they forgot about the art, and they only focus on your personal shit. That's it, your personal business, your personal stuff. What are you doing? Who'd you do it with? What do you like as a person? They don't even care. And then if they like you, see, this is where now everybody's like, okay, I got to get them to like me, right? Because now it's, if you like me, then if I like you, I'll listen to your music. But they don't care about listening to nobody's music just straight off the rip, because guess what? Millions and trillions of people that put that out all day long. So again, that's going back to the point of it being overwhelming, and they're getting sick of it. So it has to be a reason why they're going to even check it out in the first place. So, you know, that's the type of that's where we're at today. And I was one of them where I was like, I'm not pushing Spotify, I'm not pushing. But then it was like, you know what, I guess I got to advertise that a little bit. You know, you before you would go to my shit, it'd be probably four listeners or four, you know what I'm saying? Not looking like nothing at all. Although I did have on the other side where people buying my music, playing my music and other things. But if I'm not pushing a certain platform that everybody goes to, then they think, oh, I'm not even going to listen to it. And sadly, I'm going to say this because it needs to be said, most people are going to do what everybody else do. So if they see higher numbers, that means they'll take a listen, right? Most people follow. They followers. They will do what they see other people are doing. then they'll take a listen. But what does that mean? That means that we're living in an era now that everybody is just doing what? Buying numbers. Fake-ass numbers, fake-ass accounts, fake-ass this and that. You know what I mean? And since everybody respects the numbers, that's what they gave them. They got numbers, but they got fake numbers.
Exactly. And another thing, too, is what I want to talk to you about, too, is, you know, with your music and you being considered a conscious MC, and you, what the, one of the challenges of being a conscious MC is, you know, turning down the industry's challenges, putting out content that's reflective of what's going on with the struggle with our people. It has a market, but at the same time, it doesn't have a market. And do you find, what are some of the challenges that you have in taking this direction? Because, you know, you could have done like many and just went full Cardi and Meg route, but what makes you want to be stern on taking this direction constantly?
Well, first of all, again, it goes back to the fact that everybody, what female that you hear, if you turned on the radio right now, what their message, everybody's message is going to be the same. Twerking, shaking their ass, how good of a BJ they could get, right? You know what I mean? So that is all that they putting out there. Now, listen, if that's what you do, that's what you do. I ain't knocking your hustle. However, that can't be all that you do or that you represent, right? So for me, when I got back into doing music, because I left it alone for about 10 plus years, then I decided, you know what, I'm gonna create music because that's what I love to do. So when I decided to do that, I was older, my mindset was different, and I knew that I had to have a purpose behind it, right? I want to still be able to be versatile and give different things, but what was going to be my main message? Was I going to have timeless music that had good content that made a difference, that was saying something? Because that's the era I come from, right? You had to make sense. So I'm like, nah, I have to come back. If I'm going to come back into the music, it got to be for a reason. So what's my reason? My reason is to also uplift, not to just entertain, but to uplift my people and my community. How do I do that? Well, you got to give them something that does that. So I do that through the music. That's what made me say I want to take that route. So I was calling myself the Harriet Tubman of the game, right? Because she came back to kind of like help free her people, right? So I'm like, okay, if I come back, it got to have a meaning to it. I got to have, like, okay, I understand that this is what's going on in the industry now. This is all y'all here. Let me give y'all a little something different to balance this shit out a little bit. You know what I mean? So that's what made me take that route. And when I did it, it felt fulfilling to me because it wasn't just me. I could talk shit all day long. You know what I mean? I could do all of that all day long. But now when it comes down to, well, what do you represent? When I look in the mirror, I have to, what do I represent, right? I have to ask myself that. And I have to be proud of something. My thing is, and this is not to be disrespectful to anybody, but if they only have music that represents them as bitches and shaking their ass and, you know, all of the stuff that, whatever, if they only could put out music that represents that, when 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years from now, they sitting in a rocking chair, how they going to explain all of that to their grandkids that this is what they represented, right? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, explain that in your rocking chair. Like, I don't understand how you going to do it. You know, so, again, that made me say, okay, yeah, I might be able to do, you know, spit this or even say the sexual songs, because let's just back it up real quick. Sexual songs can still be, if you do it, like I said, you do it the right way. So my thing is, I got a clean version, dirty version, market, adults only. This is not for kids. So that means that I'm not even trying to push this for no kids to listen to. The adults still want certain things. You know what I mean? It still has to be something for us, too. So I can give a variety of all of that. But when it comes to conscious music, that is near and dear to my heart because I know that that has meaning to it. And when I say it, I, like, every word is heartfelt. I mean it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say the crazy thing is when it comes to that, I was told from a few people, listen, don't nobody want to hear that right now. And it was so sad because discouraging. It was discouraging, and it was also sad because I said, ain't no way in hell you telling me that this is all that my people want to hear. Is this that? Because we can't. I understand where we are as a people in today's time, but I know that there's a lot of my people that do want to hear that. So I'm going to continue to make that too. I'm not going to just, you know what I mean, abandon it because don't nobody want to hear it. Well, they might not want to hear it, but they might need to hear it.
And that could be very discouraging. Now, it's one thing for it to come from a label exec, and you could just shrug it off and be like, man, this guy's out of touch, man. This motherfucker, he just listened to Kiss. How are you going to tell me what's going on with hip-hop? You know what I'm saying? He listened to Kiss, and he listened to Van Halen. He ain't in tune in the streets. I said, you know, you can brush your shoulder off with him, but when it's people that look like you or people that you grew up with even, they'll tell you, man, we ain't trying to hear that conscious shit. We trying to hear some street stuff, or we trying to see some chicks twerking. That's very disheartening. That's very disheartening.
It is. It's sad, too, because, you know, oh, man, it's like, this is such a deep topic because I can hit it on so many levels, but I don't even know where to start sometimes. But the first thing that comes to my mind is that we say respect us, right? And this is not all that we want. But then we turn around in the next breath and say, don't nobody want to hear that. That shit is whack or it's corny. Ain't nobody trying to hear. They only want to hear the shit that represents things that really is a destruction to our people. Because at the end of the day, there's always going to be another generation that needs the generation before them to lead them. And when we look at the kids now and say, what the hell happened and what's wrong with them? Well, I always say, we are what's wrong with them. Because if we're not leading right, see, the ones before us led right. You know what I mean? You listen to the old school music. You listen to all of that, the stuff that our parents listened to. I'm not saying that there was never no songs where they didn't have people talking shit a little bit, right? But majority of the music, it was a lot of love. They probably talked about heartbreaks. They talked about stuff, but it was also men that was respecting women. We're not really living in those times now. So it became cool to be disrespectful to women. And, well, again, when we look at, oh, well, look, all this drill music, all this killing, all this, okay, well, let's really go down to the root of where this shit really started. Because those kids have parents. What was their parents listening to? What was their parents representing? What do they hear their parents talking and bragging about when they're talking about certain things? I say it all the time, and this is not a shot, but this is just me keeping it all the way real. I say, listen, I'm part of the problem. If I sit here and say, yo, I'm going to throw on some M.O.P. or maybe some Wu or somebody where I know they're talking a certain way, right? And I'm loving it because I do, and I'm going to keep it all the way real. I do. You understand? Like, I can't help it if, like, that's what I listened to or grew up on, right? But if we're rocking out to that and our kids see that and we're bragging about it and it looks fun and this and that, they're going to take a part of that with them, and then it's going to grow into something else. This is why these people that control the FM stations are doing it the way they are. They know what they're doing. This shit is not it's something that just came out. This is designed a certain way, really, to make sure that, because the kids is our future, right? We talk about the kids is our future. Well, let's look at what the future is happening now. Let's look at who is the future and what their message is. And then let's ask ourselves, how the hell did we get here?
That's heavy to build on because it just goes within the American politics and American economy and the way Rebel Outlaws are pretty much appreciated in American culture, hip hop, like, of that faith. Because at the end of the day, there's a marketable for outlaws. It could be rap, rock, it could be movies. They love the bad guys. So I think what they try to do is market that within rap and make it cool. Because, you know, it made them a lot of money. That's when N.W.A. came out. They changed the game. But they also, what they did, they also put that to contradict the message of P.E. Not that they did it intentionally. Because, you know, both groups actually coexisted. They did tours together. They actually, I think they got songs together. But at the end of the day, powers that be, they knew what they were doing, trying to separate the message. And that's another problem that we have, because, see, it goes back to the lack of balance that hip-hop has. Not just hip-hop, anything today. There's no balance to none of this stuff. Even when you look at the entertainment, look on Netflix, there's really no balance or no teachable moments around here anymore. Everything is, like, very sinister.
Yes, it is. And
very
sinister.
Like, you don't even see nothing really for kids. Like, you see something, it's always over the top or agenda-based heavy.
Yep. And that's the thing. There has to be something for kids. There got to be something for adults. It has to be something for everybody. But the problem is, what they do is they take one specific message and they market it to all. But who do they target more than anybody? They target our kids. My theory on it, okay, because I could be someone... You can call me a conspiracy theory, whatever, right? I don't care what they call it, but this is just, when I'm sitting back analyzing everything, I'm saying to myself, well, look, the older, our grandparents are either older or they're dying off. My generation, or my parents, our parents are getting older. So who's next in line as the teachers, right? So it's us, like, it's my generation, the boom back era. Is now like the teachers. And I'm not saying that there are no great teachers out there in this era. I'm just saying that when we look at the ones who are supposed to be the leaders, they're trying to fit in more with the kids instead of leading. And it looks like when we look at like the kids, right? They're like, yo, this is the, they are, again, like I said, they say the children are the future. And they're looking at who the future is going to be. I say this is a plan to do what? History repeats itself. In some form or fashion, create slavery again. They're using specific things to distract us, to distract our minds. They're using specific messages. They're creating certain stuff that keeps us separated as a family. When you have no structure, you have no family structure, you have no real leaders, and the kids don't have that to look forward to, then what does it say for the future of the kids coming up? It's a scary situation that I look at and say, damn, that generation coming afterwards, if we don't do something about it, they're going to be in a bad situation, because these people who are putting this stuff out there, they're creators. They're not letting their kids sit on TikTok all day, do this, that, and the third. They're teaching them how to create and build. Our kids are getting distracted, and we got to get away from that mentality, because you had said, it was something you said earlier, and it made me think of something about, I forgot what you said, but one of the things that came to my mind that I wanted to say was, we have to get away from bragging about what is the hardest shit. Like, our generation do that. Oh, this person, oh, you ain't hard. If you ain't rapping about it, you better be living it. Oh, well, guess what? Now these young kids are trying to live it, and they're killing each other. So, but who put that narrative out there that you got to live it? What happened to it just being entertainment? People do movies all day. Denzel Washington ain't the guy on Training Day. You know what I'm saying? But that's his job. He's an actor. You know what I mean? He's actually the total opposite of that. But that's his art. That's what he do. So when you're putting out certain things, people have to understand it's just music, but nah, somebody told these kids, you need to be living that, or you ain't really about that life. So now they doing it, and they dying at an alarming rate because they thinking that they got to live that shit. So again, that goes back to who's leading them? It's our generation. I'm sorry, I'm going to blame it on us. I hate to say it, but that's just my theory. That's how, when I look at it, that's how I see it. I can't even be mad with it.
You know what, to build off that, I think what happened with our generation is that instead of people being the gatekeepers, they took commerce instead. Because keep in mind, in the late 90s, that's where that bag was really big. Like, niggas would shoot million-dollar videos. I'm talking real $1 million. That's where hip-hop really started being real commercialized. Like, you had big money coming in there. So instead of really being the gatekeeper and protecting the art from the bullshit, these guys went on with commerce. And, you know, those budgets were big. Like, Ike Williams videos, shit, them niggas was shooting, like, what, $2 million videos. But now you see the after effect of what's happening now. A lot of those labels and a lot of those execs, they done cashed out and moved on. Leaving no ownership.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny you say that because, again, they cashed out. Like you said, they moved on. So they exploited them. They gave them a loan. They sold them a dream. They gave them fame, but they didn't give them riches. They took it. They took the fame. They liked the stream, and everybody know my name. You love the street cred, but you have nothing to show for it when you walk away. But they living in million, the other people living in million-dollar homes. Their kids is good. Their kids' kids is good. They building generational wealth off of somebody who just wants to be noticed, seen, and heard and respected in the street so somebody can yell my name? I don't think so. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying about now when people, like, try to come to me or approach me with certain things, I be laughing. Not, and again, it's not to be disrespectful, but I laugh because I'm like, yo, do they really think, like, I guess there's still a lot of people out here who don't know no better, even though it's out, it's all over. People, artists tell you all day how they got robbed. TLC spoke on it. Hey, we platinum, got all these Grammys, and we have no money. We're broke. They spoke about it. You know what I mean? People watch the New Edition thing, and you don't get the message. They had all that money. They were still living in the projects with their parents. They was trying to do all of that. We talk about those videos, but those are loans. That's not money that they said, here, you got, this is you, go do you. Nah, they said, we're going to let you borrow this money. You're going to pay us back and then some, but you got the fame. That's what you wanted, right?
The clout, though.
Uh-huh.
But you know what's this? But you know what, though? And this is why we do with our show, we like building on a different analytical view. Like, what's very disheartening to me is when you hear a lot of these guys that have gotten killed in the past, a lot of these legendary artists that either died off or gotten killed, somewhere within that circle, there's an exec out there sending his kid to college on a Biggie Smalls joint.
Yep.
Somebody's behind their car on Tupac's Changes track. That's very disheartening to me. More so than anything, because, you know, we have brothers and sisters that laid the pavement, paid the price pretty much to see this generation try to evolve with the culture, and yet you don't really see a lot of the game that they laid a lot on those songs or what they stood for. You don't really see it prevalent today because a lot of the people that were gatekeepers today, they don't care anymore. They done cashed out. They in Malibu somewhere doing some NFTs or some bullshit. Doing that NFT Bitcoin bullshit.
And you want to know something else, though, that's sad to say. But, again, like I always say, sometimes I know I be like, shit, they ain't never going to let me in. That's why I know it's all good. I'm going to just rock out and do what I do because they wouldn't like my mouth. But a lot of these people who we might think we can trust that even look like us are robbing the people too. You know what I'm saying? So it's sad when these artists got to go on these stations and talk about how you hear one person yell, oh, y'all going to stop doing us like this, but they the main ones robbing you. You know? You know, the industry is what it is. It's a hustle.
Yeah. Now, let's go on for a bit of there, because, you know, we had a great dialogue on that. Now, let's talk about
I know.
Transition to podcasting. Like, how do you make that transition happen? Because podcasting now is pretty much just like hip-hop, very oversaturated. Everybody and their mama doing it. In 2020 opened up that door, that Pandora's box that is never going to be closed. But you seem very authentic. Like, tell people how did you get into it and what are some of the things that they can look for if they're trying to grow it?
Yeah, so how I got into it is when I started doing the music, I was going on other people's shows promoting myself. Some shows I was doing, you know, virtually, and some shows I was doing face-to-face in person. The very first time that I got interviewed on somebody's show, I was a little nervous. I was like, oh, man, you know, because I haven't been really on the radio in years. I think I was probably like 15 in Philly or something, you know, like when I went back to Philly. But it's been so long, and I didn't know what to expect. But once the cameras roll and it was time to go, like, I immediately just felt comfortable. What I told myself at that point was, instead of being nervous, worrying about what people think, just be yourself, because you're going to attract the right people. And those who don't like you, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to make sure that when people like you, they like you for you. Be authentic, be all real, speak your mind, and that's that. So that's what I did. Then when I went to another radio station in Newark, I was doing that for a little bit. And I was like, damn, like, yo, it just really felt like this is my lane. I love to have the discussions. I love to talk. I like to shine the light on other artists. I love the music, but, like I said, I do get, like, a little sometimes, like, okay, this is oversaturated. I'm getting tired now. But I know
right.
that I can switch it up. So what happened is I did this on a couple of other people's shows. They had radio stations, though. They weren't podcasts. They had radio stations. And I said, well, I don't want to just play music. I want to have discussions and topics. I love to have great topics and talk about things like we're doing now. You know what I mean? So I said, you know
Absolutely.
What? I want to start my own podcast. So I decided that that's what I was going to do. And I did it, but I wasn't being consistent. And this was probably 2018, right? I said I was going to do it. Wasn't consistent with it. 2020, when that pandemic happened, I was in the house. I was like, damn, I need to really go full-fledged with it. So that's when I decided to go all the way with doing it, learning. You know, me and my husband, we do it together. And I enjoy doing it. But again, you're right. The podcast is totally oversaturated, and it is not easy. It was a question that you asked. I'm sorry. It was almost like a helping question to somebody who wants to start. What was it?
What kind of advice would you give anybody that want to start off on podcasting? And because one of the main challenges, because we started radio in 2014. And one of the main things that we wanted to do is stand out. We want to study the people before us. Like, we want to study how to create an audience. Because that's a talent within itself, to create an audience and have them invested in you.
Yes, absolutely. So what I would say to somebody who wants to start, again, just like music, know what your goal is. And sometimes you might not know right away, and that's okay. But eventually you have to find out what works and what your goal is, right? So do you want to get picked up by somebody else? Because now you know what you're working sort. Do you want to be independent? And how do you, if you did this and didn't make any money at all, would you still want to do it? Because that's how you're going to know if you love it or not. And the reason I say that, for them days that it becomes hard, where you feel like people are not tuning in, people are not supporting you, you know what I mean? Can you still do it? Will you still do it? Because that determines a lot. It's going to determine if you're even going to want to continue. You know, I remember I was talking to her. I was being interviewed, and one of the things that the guy said to me was, remember why you started in the first place. That's how you continue to grow and stay doing what you want to do. So you first got to know that you want to do it, that you love it. It's something in your heart. If it's just for money, and I ain't knocking somebody if you're doing it for money, but now how are you going to make money? Are you going to charge for interviews? Are you going to charge for sponsors on the show? Like, what are you going to do to make the money? Or you can do it all. I'm doing it for the love, but because I love it and I want to make this my career, I have to find ways to make it work for me financially too, because it's my time. What I realized is, and this is okay, but I said, damn, people love coming on my show because I advertise them very well, right? So much so that I was advertising them more than I was advertising myself in my show. And I'm like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You understand what I'm saying? But I said, shit, you know, like I do, you know, doing all this stuff. Sometimes I interview people and I did it for nothing. They don't even post a flyer.
They don't even share it.
So it's like, hold up.
How well understand what we deal with, because you know I would consider you to be a content creator as well. Because you create content, so
yeah.
You're a content creator as well. And people don't understand the work that goes through in booking guests and getting guests on shows and making sure everything runs correct. Like things could be running smooth and anything could change within 1 second.
Yep.
Or you could have people, for that matter, that say, yeah, I'll be there as soon as I come. You don't hear them, you don't see them. You like, what the fuck? He just shared it 10 minutes ago. You know, let's go
with
this guy.
Hold on, that was me earlier. Stop playing.
Nah, you good. I had to put you in that lane because I was like, something had to happen. I'm talking about people that just get all together all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. That might be people who are not really serious about what they're doing, respecting. Let me tell you something. And this is what I would say to people who want to start a podcast, and this is what I would want people to know about me. I never, ever treat any platform different than another. And what does that mean? That means that if I'm on a platform, I've been on a platform that had hundreds and hundreds of viewers, right? I've been on a platform where maybe 2-3 people was listening, and it didn't matter to me. I'm going to give and speak and be the same no matter what, especially since I know what that feels like. You understand? I would never want anybody to feel that I'm treating their platform like it's lower than anyone else. First of all, you never know where that person might go. They gave you an opportunity to come on their platform and showcase what you got going on. And if you were good enough and they were good enough for you to go do that, then you should respect them from the jump. Because if they wasn't that good and you felt like that, then you shouldn't have never went on the show in the first place. So at the end of the day, I always say, you know, it's very important to let people know, like, hey, listen, I don't care if nobody ain't listening. Let's do the damn thing. Put it out, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It don't even freaking matter. You know what I mean? Because when you treat people a certain way, they never forget that shit. And I say that because that's me. When I've had people, and I'm not going to say no names, because I interviewed mainstream artists and just in the indie artists, right? And I had people who would come on my show, and this is how I had to take it. I'll come on your show and I'll promote myself to your audience and your people. But I'd be damned if I'm going to share my audience with you. See, that's the type, when I look at people who do that, that's what I see from them. Oh, you don't want to share it or put it out there or even post it because you're promoting me now. But it's okay that I promote you on mine. Even if it's just, if it's lower than your numbers, you still want those people to know about you, right? The people that's listening from my end. But that's how people get down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. The key is too, and I would like to share this to everybody that want to get into this, don't get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged when sometimes you gonna have a guest book, you can have the fly, you can promote out the ass, and ain't no call, no show. I've seen people that have a lot of potential to be big shows, but they give up because of one or two flakes, and they just stop doing it. You got to keep, or if not that, their views aren't big enough, and their followers not big enough. I say, look, man, you never know. One video could change your whole life. One interview could change your whole life. And just like you said, you never know when people might go back to this interview and be like, oh, they had Lady Miz up there. Lady Miz give us a shout out at the Grammy Awards. So that's a big look right there.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying, what people don't understand in this industry is you got to build relationships. Don't just look at it like, you know, people sometimes can be so selfish, but you have to be selfless. You can't sit there and just think that you're going to constantly get, because people know when you're using them, when you're trying to get over on them, people know that. It's like people be underestimating people too much. You know what I mean? So, again, like you said, what you got to do is you got to just show people that you value them and their time and what they do. You know what I mean? You have to show people that no matter what.
Exactly. Like, as long as you dope, that's the way I look at it. Because, see, a lot of people, a lot of shows, they'll probably, first thing they will look at, well, how many followers do you have? I'm like, does that really matter? Because we actually went through that. Well, we actually went through that. We had somebody like, well, you don't have enough followers. I'm like, but I'm in the streets, though. I had picked with celebrities. I've had legends on this show. Don't hop the bandwagon when Jay-Z hit me that Roc Nation deal. Don't bring your funky artist here after that. That's what I told him.
That's a fact. I feel you on that. And that's why I say people remember. You know what I mean? They never forget.
Absolutely. And we don't have, you know, we're not just pushovers. You know, we didn't have 500 shows. Can't have 500 shows being a pushover. We put in our work.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Whereas a lot of people would have gave up after 5 shows. To do 500 plus, that's a testament of the work ethic that me and my partner had. Big shout out to T-Mac. And
man,
a lot of the people that helped us along the way. And we thank you definitely for being a part of the archive, because you reached out to me and we was like, yeah, let's make it happen. You have a movement going on, have a lot of things going on, so let's figure why not build off that.
Absolutely. And listen, I definitely appreciate you allowing me to come on your platform and chop it up with you. You know what I mean? I think that's dope for sure. So, you know, I'm definitely grateful for that.
That's total dedication right there, because it's the late night hours. We could have been asleep. But you know what? We giving back to the culture, damn it. So we wanted to give y'all this interview here. We ain't wait the next week. We said, nah, we going to do this now.
That's right.
There's only one Lady Miz out there, damn it, and we're going to have to give her this time before she blow up. So we got you in the archive.
I appreciate that. I definitely do. For real. And shout out to y'all for, you know, staying in this long, like 500 shows. That's a lot. You know, we were like excited when we hit our like 100 show. So like 500, wow, that's dope. But that right there shows true dedication. And that's what people don't understand. Like, the people who will make it are the ones who are consistent.
That's why I told my partner, I told him, look, if we're going to make it, and I want nobody, I know people going to laugh when I say this, we're going to make it, we're going to have that Chris Brown working habit.
The Chris Brown working habit.
Damn right. That nigga put out like, what, 50 songs per album?
Listen, let me tell you something. I got to be honest. His albums be too long. I don't listen to it. I love Chris Brown, but I'm not sitting there listening to all those songs, okay?
That nigga put $50 songs per album out there. He ain't give a fuck. That's what they call it? That cocaine work ethic right there. That mean you ain't sleeping.
Oh, shit.
That nigga probably recorded now. Nah, cause back in the day, cause you know, back in the day, the way when they used to sequence albums, like Michael, he used to put out like what, 10 joints. Rilla only had like what, 10 joints. Chris Brown said he took a line, sniffed that. He like, nah, nigga, we going in. We about to put 50 on this joint.
Oh, he ain't sleep for like 5 days. But you know what? The crazy thing is, like back in the day, people could put out like that many songs. Well, not that many. He overdoing it. But nowadays, to put out 10 songs is crazy.
I ain't never seen a cat put out like 50 songs per album. Like he dropping quadruple discs. And you know what? It ain't like it was where even with guys like Prince, where he'll just have music laying over it within years, and he'll just put it out there, and people would think it's new. Cause you know, even when you listen to some of the songs, they're dated. But this nigga here, he does that line of blow, jumps in the booth, records 60 joints a day.
Oh, shit.
Then even his manager like, damn, what's going on, Chris? Get that nigga another one.
Yo, maybe he had to meet a quota for his label or something. Wait, he said, let me just knock all this shit out.
I owe them shit.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You want to hear something messed up? And I hate to say this on air, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to say it. There was somebody that I was semi-cool with, and he manages some old school artists. And he asked me to sign a contract with their record label. I started to do some research, and in my contract, it stated, they have creative control over what I do. No, I'm not doing that, right? But then it was like, well, then, you know, we could work something out, but you got to know we got the final say. But that wasn't just the sad part. Was I'm really trying to sugarcoat this shit without going crazy and putting people's name out. But the sad part was the person wanted everything from me, not
wow.
just from me, but from my kids. See, my kids are. Like, my daughter's a songwriter. My daughter's a singer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My son plays basketball. He's young, though. He's 14. But the thing is, people were looking, and this person must have been looking at my whole family. And I put out a compilation right before I dropped Riding called Family Business. That compilation got my whole family on it, okay? Me, my husband, my kids, my stepson, my uncle, you understand? A couple of, like, real close friends that I consider family. So we call this Family Business because that's what we do. Everything we do is based off of that, right? And I felt this person had shit in the contract like, yo, if your kids make money, we get a percentage of that. If your name is on anything that you do, even if it does not to have anything to do with us, we get a percentage of that. If you try to hide it, we get to audit your bank account. We want every penny. Every penny. So if you make 2 cents, we want our penny. That's how deep the fucking contract was. And this was supposed to be somebody who was somewhat I was cool with, doing business with. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you know, when somebody has a contract, you never know what a person might do to fulfill it so that they could get the hell out of it. Kind of like how Prince just changed his name to a symbol. He didn't want to use the name no more. You know what I mean? People, they get involved in shit, and sometimes even you got to be careful with these lawyers because they be in the bed with these record labels. You don't even know. Like, nobody cares. It's sad to say.
That's what people don't understand, where it's easy for people to sit back and be like, well, you should have got a lawyer. It's easy to reach a contract. Those lawyers are the biggest scammers.
Yep.
Them accountants and them lawyers, they the biggest scammers in this business, especially the one sent from the exec. You will trust him with
exactly.
your money? He trying to take it from you just like them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they don't get
it. When people, they look at these shows, like, you know, the New Edition movies, and they look at Unsung, and you know the people, they look from the bird's eye view, and they say,
right.
Well, you should have let the contract. Me and you seen these contracts. That's not like your standard book report contract. Them shits is like thousands and thousands of pages.
Mm-hmm.
Full of numbers. And sometimes people, we get so impatient, we eager to get on. We just like, man, give me that shit. Let me just sign it. Let's get it. What's
yep.
it work? I ain't got time to read this shit.
Hey, you
want
to know something?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say this, but it's on my podcast, so fuck it. It ain't my story, but the person was on. We interviewed Sweet LD. I don't know if you remember her. She was from Oaktown 357. She was MC Hammer. Oh, do you remember MC Hammer?
Oh,
MC
yeah.
MC Hammer. So he was her, I don't know, labeled manager, whatever the case was, but in the interview that we did with her, she talks about how they forced them to sign the contract when they were young with no lawyer, no nothing, just right there on the spot. I didn't know at the time when we were interviewing her that she was talking about MC Hammer. And I feel bad, you know what I mean? When I looked back, I said, oh, shit, because I was asking. I'm like, okay, so how was it working with MC Hammer? I remember them because, like I said, I told you, I listened to almost damn near everybody. So I used to listen to her music, you know what I mean, and rock out to it when I was young. She was also a dancer. But, you know, when I'm asking her those questions that she was answering, and she told a story about being on an airplane, and when they landed, they was like, if you don't sign that contract, y'all ain't going on, you know, tour or whatever. You could get your ass off the plane, and how they just talk to them so bad. And it's crazy because it's like the people in the industry, that you think that you could trust. Everybody got a motive. Everybody.
Like, for every dollar you take, there's going to be somebody trying to take five from it.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar you make, they're going to try to take five out of it. So the moral of the message is you got to have a solid team behind you. Solid family, solid team, solid people that you knew that's going to represent you. That's the morale
That's
of the
right.
story and the message right there. It can't even be people that you can even trust and pay.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
We had to leave y'all with that mess with this message right here. So, you know, we got 5 more minutes to spare, and I definitely enjoyed the bill with you. You brought great energy. You brought a flux of information that a lot of people, I think, is going to replay in years to come with this show because, you know, it's like a collide of the brands. It's like Marvel and DC with your brand and my brand. You know what I mean? And we made history tonight.
Absolutely. And I enjoyed the conversation in the whole 9 yards. You know what I mean? It's just, it's good to have these type of conversations, because I always tell people it's bigger than just, you know, music. You know, like I do a few things. Like I said, I'm an author. I wrote 3 books. I started my own publishing company. I have my own potato chip company, you know what I mean, called Boss Move Chips. So I'm like doing a lot of different things, and I'm trying to even get into the film side of things. So, but the music, because I love it, and this is what I want to leave out with, just to the artists out there who still love music and is from that boom bap era. It doesn't matter if you did not make it to a certain point with it. If you love it, do it. Because we are the only group of people that try to tell people to hang it up while everybody else could be any age doing it. Never let nobody kill your dreams or your passion. You always got to live that, and you always got to do what you love. Otherwise, you're just living for other people. So for me, music is not all that I do, but it's a part of what I do. And I'd love people to just know, hey, I have so many other things going on. It's about my brand, not just about one thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're going to keep on supporting and encouraging what you do. Now, do you have any shout-outs that you want to give out?
Yeah, sure. So I want to shout out my husband. We call him Ray the Silent Assassin, or Double R. And he's also my co-host on From the Ground Up Productions podcast. Always shouting out my kids because it's always family first. Soraya Alexis, who is a singer, songwriter, and she's a content creator. My son, Nasir, basketball and future NBA player. And my stepson, Poppy Fortune, who's also a dope songwriter and artist. Shout out to everybody that, you know, supports us in what we do. It's a lot of people. I can't name everybody right now, and I don't want to forget names, but just everybody who consistently show up when we're live, just watching our shows, supporting us, supporting me, buying my books, buying my chips, all of that. I just appreciate that. And shout out to you for giving me the opportunity to come on your platform and, you know, just promote myself, promote my music, and everything that I do.
Appreciate it. And let people know where they can find you on your social media handles and where they can contact you in case they want to get on the show or check your music.
Yeah, so I always first tell people my website is the first place to go to. That's LadyMiz.com. I spell lady with an I. So it's LadyMiz.com. And all of my social medias, from Facebook to Instagram to YouTube, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything is Lady Miz. I make it very easy so nobody don't have to overthink it. Or, you know, it's like that all across the board, so they can follow me on all those social medias. I also have a blog on my website, so I do write blogs and stuff like that. And my music is on all platforms, so they can stream it or they can purchase it directly from me. I do offer direct sales, so I ain't got to split my shit with these streaming platforms. So how that works is they'll just purchase what they need, whether it's a single or album, from me, and then I send them the MP3, and that's theirs forever. So that is how they can reach me. So definitely I always like to tell people, if they go to my website, just subscribe, because remember, there was a time when WhatsApp and Instagram and all that was shut down. It wasn't working. And if we have that and we don't have no way to get in touch with someone, you know, that website is always a great place to stay connected.
Absolutely. People don't understand how much of a panic mode people were with the Instagram and Facebook getting shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. Yes. It even got to me because I had so many contacts that I couldn't get, and I was like, damn it, that's a lot of, that's a potential bag right there. They got to fix this shit.
Hell yeah, shit. I was stressed out too.
Yeah, because it's like, but normally... Normally, I would have been, like, really nonchalant, like, you know what, it's whatever, I'm gone, but that ain't the time right now, because, you know, we got plugs, we got connections locked up with this thing. Y'all better get this thing, damn it, together, or we pulling up.
But this is, and this is, and I just want to say this before we get up out of here. That's why it's important for us to learn how to create our own and have another source of way for people to contact us, because if we just, if they decided they wanted to shut their platform down, right, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What happens to our fan base? What happens to our brand? What happens? This is why I always tell people, subscribe to my website, because that means I got your email. That means, I know you're going to be get access to your email. You know what I mean? That's going to be my way to stay in contact with you. And I've been pushing that more than anything else lately, even though somebody might say, well, somebody doing that, they can't look at my numbers. Well, I understand that, but it is what it is. Because, again, sometimes you got to think outside the box.
For sure. That's the message right there. So you're definitely welcome to come aboard, and feel free anytime when you have a project to promote, because next time I have my co-host with me, and, you know, we could definitely build from there. Like, whenever you have anything going on, or if you need any drops from us, just let us know. We'll make that happen.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, for sure. I definitely will let you know, because I always need drops. And definitely, I got y'all on that as well, too. So you just tell me what you need, and I got
definitely, we can make that happen. I mean, matter of fact, my birthday this month, so I might need that by the weekend. So I'll definitely do one for you.
Oh, shoot, and my birthday is this month, too, on the 11th.
Oh, it's only right. It's only right. So we're going to make that happen.
Yes, okay.
Definitely.
What day is your birthday on?
Mine is on the 21st.
The 21st, okay. All right.
That's right.
Yeah, we definitely going to make that happen. So we chop it up, hit me on the gram, you know what I mean? And we're going to get it, we're going to make it work.
For sure. So, yeah, y'all, we're about to sign up out of here. Thank you once again, Lady Miz, for chopping it up with us. Big shout-out to my co-host, T-Max. Big shout-out to Ill Out of Sandman, Miz Chinchilla, everybody that supported us in this journey. And episode 500, Fleetwood and the Cot Pickers, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio. It's too many of y'all to name, but I'm out, well. So we'll catch y'all again tomorrow night. Out.